Hey guys, welcome to season 3 of the Unchained Podcast, where we inspire ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Look, I know it's been a while since we've aired, however, I'm excited to be back. And I'm here to bring some fresh new material from those who are excellent at what they do. Season 3 features a list of individuals from all backgrounds who are rising stars in their line of work and industry. You're not only going to get some inspiring stories to help you change your life, you're going to get ideas as to how you can become unchained and break away from ordinary. Tune in every Monday for new episodes at anchor.fm/unchained and get inspired on your favorite platforms such as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google, or even Amazon Music, plus many more. Thank you for joining us, and always break away from ordinary. Catch you later.
All right, man. So it's been what, a month maybe? A month or more since we last seen each other?
Oh, wow. It's only been a month. I love that. A lot has happened in a month.
All right. So before we get cracking, everyone out there, welcome to the Unchained Podcast. I'm your host, Peter Martin. And this season, man, you guys know, is going to be completely different. I'm allowing other people to share their story. And today we have Imani with us. And she's one of the few people that actually captivated me when we were at the Great American Speak Off, which was a beautiful experience. So season 3, man, y'all gonna be able to learn a lot more from people. And so I'm gonna just tell you right up front, Imani, the thing that got me was that while I was there and we were all given our 1 minute, right? And you spoke on I Am. Now, little did you know, I've probably been teaching on that very same lesson for about 8 weeks, just that topic alone. For people to understand that whatever they want, desire, it's already within them. And the moment you assume responsibility for the great divine power that you possess, you're able to do whatever it is you set your mind and heart to, right? So from your standpoint, okay, I want you kind of give people a little bit of where you came up with your particular concept. Because yours had a different name or whatever you said. I don't know the dialect you use.
Kuji Chakalia.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. So what does that mean?
Kuji Chakalia is the second day of Kwanzaa. I've never actually celebrated Kwanzaa, but my grandfather, he was the president of the National Black Storytelling Association. So he's big on Kwanzaa. He's big on principles. My name, Imani, is the seventh day of Kwanzaa. So I grew up knowing these principles. And during this audition, when they said to come up with 60 seconds of something, I asked God to give me, what am I supposed to say? And he said, Kuji Chakalia. And I called my grandfather and was like, I haven't heard that word since I was a child. And for some reason, God told me to say I am. So that's where it came from. It was just kind of like a full circle moment for me as well.
Ah, gotcha. So, you know, God never gives anything in pieces. He's always given the full story. So how are you currently, how are you continually using that concept in everyday life? Because, I meet you out on social media. And if you guys don't know, please follow Imani. She's funny to watch. She's fun to watch. So you are a TV personality. So I watched your, it was like a commercial for a documentary, like the old documentary. That was pretty hilarious. I love it.
Documentary for what?
It was a documentary that you did. I guess you're getting ready for a speech or a talk, and, you were going over your speech, you were trying to memorize it. And I was like, it's hilarious, but it's cool. Because it tells the story of what we as people who desire to inspire others, what we go through mentally and emotionally. So give me a little bit more background on that one.
I love that you said that. That's exactly why I'm posting the behind the scenes of it, because, you know, you're a leader, you're a coach, you're wise. And so people always kind of see you in the shining point of your career, you know, but for you to have that wisdom, you've been through some things, you've lost some things, you've been in loss, probably been more than you've been in win. And so it can be discouraging seeing people who have that shine in them like you do and not knowing all the failure they've been through. So I try to post the failure behind this story because yeah, I have these wins and you have that bright personality, but there's so much more losses and there's other people on their path to greatness. If you don't show that, they're going to give up when those moments happen. When you go to an audition and you don't get chosen for what you wanted to be chosen for, you have to remember, I am. They're not the only person who gets to decide that. God has put a calling over your life and it's going to come with a lot of trials and tribulations. So I try to post the trials and tribulations a lot.
Yeah, I think that's, I agree with that because I think that's, that's similar to the gold purification process, you know, to burn out all the dross, all the impurities, you know, and I think as far as like somebody like you, like I have no doubt in my mind that it's only a matter of time before you actually get to the level you're shooting at, you know, because I think a lot of people, especially myself, do like that, the early stages of, you know, getting to where we are now. There's like, we have this issue, like being in obscurity is a problem. It's actually not, you know, to be in obscurity, you know, and for those of you who don't know what that means, is like to be hidden, you know, in the darkness. And it's in that dark place where you're growing, you're being cultivated. But you also have to admire the dark place. It's not necessarily comfortable, but it's an obscurity where, what's being revealed to you are the strengths and the weaknesses, the things you need to work on and the things you're great at. And so there's always a choice in obscurity. And we can get down and we can start talking about the weak spots or the weaknesses. But also in obscurity, if you embrace it, you know that it's only a matter of time before all that dross is burned down, right? And so I think what you have a special knack for doing is you continue to wear a smile no matter what. You know, I think a lot of people wanted to be in the top 30 and the top 10 and the final four. And, you know, you made the top 30, you know, in the Great American Speak Off, which I was like, yo, that's dope. You know what I mean? You know, it's like, and I was one of the few that voted for it. I can't say that now. but it's, you know, even though you didn't make the top 10, you still came out smiling, right? So for those who experienced failure, what was your, you know, like what would be your mindset or your message to somebody who's pursuing something, but yet it doesn't turn out, like you said, we may not get chosen for the things you want to get chosen for. So what was your mindset going into the Great American Speak Off?
Well, I went in with the wrong mindset. And I went in with like, I have to win, especially because it was on my grandmother's birthday. And a large part of my journey for the last 10 years has been for my grandmother's retirement plan. So I put that pressure on myself. I have to come back with the gold for my grandmother. So honestly, if after I lost, I didn't come back to the table and meet you guys, were the ones that were still smiling, that had this like vibration that was so high. And I'm like, who am I? I mean, I hear y'all stories. I see how talented you are. I mean, I hear your wisdom. Who am I to think that this had to be my time when all of us thought that, you know, all of us could have been chosen for that moment. So I will say that after rejection, be careful where you go to next, because right. I used to have a problem with addiction. And I would say after those rejections, I would go run to friends who would hand me something that would validate the emptiness in me. This time, God placed, not only did he give me the message I am, so I had to remember that for myself, but he put me around people who already knew that. Y'all started talking, you were talking about the energy of I am when I was still dealing with, oh my God, I just lost my grandmother's birthday. So honestly, being around coaches who know what you know, it can really help you confirm that rejection is not real. We're all going to have another time. We're going to have another moment. And it's not over, so God says it's over. So we start to talk about after this, we can still create a stage. And that's when I realized that, like, God gave me that message I am because I need to know that for myself. I get to validate myself, and I can keep going if I choose to. So anyone who's in rejection, choose to not count yourself out based on that one circumstance. It's just one circumstance. And a true winner knows that it's multiple series that makes you a winner. Even Kobe lost so many times. It's his consistency. It's his whole record that makes him a winner, not that one time.
Right, right. I think that's beautiful. And it's funny because, you know, I was kind of zoned out for most of that, for most of the speaking part of that day. I don't think we even exchanged words until after we did our last room. So I totally agree with that, because for me, it wasn't necessarily the pressure of doing it for anybody else. For me, the pressure was, okay, this is my time. I've manifested this. I've been believing this. I've been doing this for a while. And so what was so funny to me was that in the auditions, man, ice cold, killed it. I got there in front of people. It's like two stories going on in my head at the same time. I was like, this is not how this is supposed to go. So I literally bombed the first room. And I'm not going to lie, I went to the bathroom for a minute. I was like, well, this is not like you. What's the deal? And so after that, the next four rooms killed it. But I think the mindset of is, even though you might come up short, you still have to remember who you are. I think that's the beauty of it. The beauty of what you just said, that one loss doesn't define all the other victories. I could have straddled that first room and could have killed the rest of my day. But the funny thing was is that I had to say something to myself to get me out of that pit, because it's like the woman with the issue of blood, you know, in the Bible, where she said to herself, if she were to touch the hem of Christ's garment, she was going to be healed. It was something she said to herself. Nobody else said anything to her. So it was the fact that I was able to say to myself in a moment, okay, this doesn't define you, okay, but you can still climb out of this. And so I was watching other people mentally in their own space, having conversations with themselves. And so I realized, yo, I'm not the only one. So when it comes to being who, you know, God has called you to be, I call it the crossroads, right? And if you want to imagine it, it's the cross. Everybody's there. So you have a vertical line and a horizontal line. And this is where the horizontal meets the vertical is where we always have decisions. So if we make the wrong decision at the connecting point where destiny meets remaining the same, then we'll continue on this horizontal path. But when we make the choice that, you know, I'm better than this, you know, I can do more than I ever thought, that's where we ascend at the greater part of that cross. So, you know, watching people like that day, I was extremely amazed. Your particular message, I saw the confidence resonate in you. You know what I mean? There were certain people that had a certain buzz, a certain energy to them, and you were just one of the few. And the funny thing is you wore yellow, which is different. You just stood out. You know, you wore yellow. I remember that. And I was like, okay, so her outfit matches her moves.
So, I love that. Thank you for saying that.
So I was like, she, for me, I thought, whether you knew it or not, you know, subconsciously, but it was almost like that was planned. You know what I mean? Like yellow, like it's significance for you in some way. You know, I was like, you got yellow dress on, you got yellow reds, blonde reds. I was like, oh.
Shiny.
So as I look back and I've been reflecting on our conversation, man, for days and weeks. And so I put on Facebook, there were just certain people that I will always remember and I always call friends. I think because the connection at that table that day, after all that was so strong, it led me to have a thought about you, and I was like, she's probably going to be one of the few people that will probably supersede a lot of the rest that were there. And that's where, so that's where the story that I told you about, you know, Steve Harvey, The Rock, and Jamie Foxx, you know, it was almost kind of like
a story.
Yeah, it was almost kind of like we were the unlikely. However, there's no doubt in my mind that at some point we'll all meet again at the top.
Man, that was big. When you shared that story, for one, God orchestrated that whole moment. You were a major mouthpiece during that time. So it's weird that you're saying that you had to go talk to yourself, because I didn't know that, because you were so confident and joyful in that moment. That's what made me check myself. But you kept speaking on stories about the Bible and all these things. And like, It was, you know what I got from that? Because like you said, I did use a word as my story. But one thing that I know I didn't do was I didn't actually put my story in there. And that's because I'm still dealing with shame from my story. And then I sat at the table with you guys, and you and Juan were so transparent about details that I didn't want to share about your story. And I'm just like, I mean, I remember that part more than the competition, more than all the other stories that were shared. I remember the transparency that you guys were sharing about your personal life. And that made me, going forward, when I build my own stages, I have to share more of the ugly part. Because it's the ugly part that really bounds us together. And I mean, that coaches, if I want to be any type of transformation coach, talk about the ugly part. And it was you who were really, you were really transparent about your story. And like, that part really moved me. I knew God put me there so that I can hear you say those things. So can you tell us that story about Bernie Mac and what you said that day?
Oh yeah. Well, it wasn't necessarily Bernie Mac. It was, I remember Steve Harvey telling his story about him going to speak at the Apollo, and he had been homeless for 3 years. You know, everything was not going his way, and he only had a few bucks to his name. But he says he remembered going, and that's back when you could go and like check your voicemail on the phone. And he went to a payphone and checked his voicemail. There was nothing there. And in the moment he was in his car and he was about to break, he heard God tell him, "Hey, go and check your voicemail again." So he goes to check his voicemail again, and a guy from a comedy club had called him from Florida and says, "Hey, we have a grand prize of like, I don't know how many dollars it was or whatever, but we have a grand prize." You know, and he thought to himself, like, if I can go down there and win this, you know, he's like, that'll be good. So he goes down to Florida, and I think he had also received like a call from Apollo or something like that as well. So they wanted him to come up, but he also knew he could go and win this other comedy bit down in Florida. So he won a couple nights in a row that gave him the money to travel to go do comedy at the Apollo. So when he got there, mind you, he has no money for a hotel. He has nothing. He's up there completely broke, okay, in his car. And he goes upstairs and he's like, "Yo, can I just hang out here? I don't have anywhere else to go." And so the guy was like, "Sure, but you can't come downstairs until it's time to do your bit." So he goes upstairs and the guy was like, I think like after a couple hours, he got hungry or something. And so he wanted to go downstairs and ask the guys, like, "Hey, got to go across the street, get something to eat. I haven't eaten all day, yada, yada." The guy's like, "All right, fine, cool." So then he said he goes upstairs, and I think back there in the dressing room, you have The Rock, you have Jamie Foxx, you have Sex Entertainment, I believe DLG, I believe was another, Jim Carrey, and you have all of these greats that were in that room. Now, all of them were rejected except for Steve Harvey. Now, back then, Jamie Foxx wasn't funny, but he could sing. So every time he sings, he had the crowd. Anytime he started telling jokes, they grew. You know what I mean? So, you know, and it's just those kind of stories that, you know, they keep me motivated. Because here's the thing, most people don't realize that when we're at the Great American Speak-Off, we're in the room with people who are already speaking on corporate stages. We're in a room that were with people that were, you know, they're already speaking. They already have six-figure incomes. Like, you know, we're in the room with John Gray. We're competing against a guy who's been on a global stage for ministry.
Some of them are coaches to major companies already.
Absolutely. So you got to think, you know, out of everybody that was chosen, we were chosen. And we went up against some of the best. You got to think about that. You got to think some people will not even fork out the money to compete in their own talent. Right? They were denied all the opportunity. And I remembered that story because I was like, yo, we're sitting in the midst of a billionaire. Like, whatever, you know, whatever we've thought about or dreamt about, we're in the same room with Grant Cardone. Getting nuggets of wisdom from Grant Cardone. Getting nuggets of wisdom from Pete Vargas. You know, guys that are going across the world and killing it on a global stage. So I didn't take it to heart as much as I thought I would. I was like, you know what? We actually were the ones that showed up.
Man.
You know, and I was like, if I were to try to do this 10 years earlier, I wouldn't have done it. I didn't have the mindset. I didn't have the confidence. I didn't have any of the things. Like I had, like you said, I was still in my story then 10 years ago. You see what I'm saying? Like I was still in my story. I was still trying to grow at that point. As a matter of fact, 10 years ago, this is 2023. I'm just now coming off of being homeless 10 years ago. I'm just now, I'm just now like getting off the streets. I'm just now getting back into my daughter's life. There's so much that I was not ready to handle in that time period. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, we can't be afraid about the rejection or obscurity. Me taking that loss, you taking that loss, that's just more pressure to finite the diamond. But that's just more pressure to find out the diamond. You get what I'm saying? So, that's just that story. And I think most people have to remember that those that we admire, people we look up to, they didn't start where they are. They started where we are now. You know what I mean?
Yes. And I'm also in Grant Cardone's 10X mentorship program. And you know, I also know that we were all in a test right then and there, because Grant Cardone, he actually favors people who take losses and bounce back right after more than the person. I mean, not saying the person who won immediately, he'll favor that person too, but he loves that grit. He loves the person who doesn't count themselves out because he said no. He's like, if that can make you think that you're not a speaker, you're not who we were looking for. I actually am looking for the person who heard the no and doesn't call themselves a loser, who keeps going after that. So, I mean, yeah, we all had to take some time to look at a larger perspective, but we were in the room with Pat Quinn. Do you know who Pat Quinn is? Do you know what he does? He puts people on stages for a living. He changes lives using a stage and a voice every day. He is the plug. So, like, he saw you speak. Whether you won or not, he still saw you. And I don't know if you were you there when Pete Vargas, he told the story of how he kept posting these videos and no one was watching it. For so long he did that, just to find out that somebody who was an executive producer for the Oprah show was one of his small audience members, and now he works with the Oprah show. So it's not always about winning. That's a worldly perspective to think there's only one trophy. God can put you in a certain room with the right person and you didn't win, but that person's still connected to the very thing that's going to make you a winner in real life. So we just got to stick to the people who needed to know us, you, me, us. Now we're a longtime business partners. We don't know what that means. We don't know if we win or not. We probably already won, honestly.
Right. Right, you know, and that's what I love about you, you know, you and Juan, and you know, just hearing those stories, man, is like, you know, my mentor, Dr. Matt, you know, he helped me with something, and it was the way that I was proceeding from the problem. He would ask me this question, and I hate that he asked me a question because I didn't know how to answer it in the beginning. And so, if there was something I perceived as a defeat or a loss, he would say, okay, so what does that mean about you? And I didn't know how to answer it. And now that I know how to answer it, a loss means nothing about me. Mm. You know, and he kept asking me that so that I could stop telling myself the story that keeps me in bondage. You get what I'm saying? So some people take a loss and they say, well, what does that mean about you? And the people will actually fill in the blank with the negative. But it was only when I said, you know what, it doesn't mean anything about me. It doesn't, because you can only, like, your life only takes the form with what the thing you may identify with or agree with, you know, and that became evident more and more as I started teaching the concept of I am. And it became more and more evident as I started teaching that. And that was one of the biggest reasons I had, you know, separated from organized religion when I started teaching it. Not that I separated myself from God or my relationship with Christ, separated from organized religion for the simple reason is that a lot of what I was taught, they would teach as if I should worship God as if he was separate from who I am.
Yeah.
So if we're reading the words of Christ, and Christ keeps saying to me to abide, and abide in me and I abide in you, and when he's praying to John chapter 17, he says, you know, God, please help them to abide in me as I abide in you, or realize that you know, may it be one with me as I am with you. And in other words, he was making the core attention that we're all interconnected. There is no separation between God and man. But he says the only abomination is to say that God does not exist. That really means to deny yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so a lot of people were taking what I was saying as, oh, no, are you saying that you're God? No, no, no. I'm not saying I am God, but I am the co-creator with God.
Yeah.
And a lot of us don't catch that. You know, I kind of scripture to back that up. But
go ahead.
No, go ahead. Were you on
fire? Finish your thought. I thought you were finished.
No, I said, but I would even, go as far as to say is that I believe that most people that were down there and, in Miami, some of us, I do, or not all of us, still believe that concept that we're not separate from the one who made us, but we're able to create with the very God that made us. You know, so that was the beauty of what I got from the story initially. Because I was like, somebody gets it. You know what I mean?
So good. So good. And I would even challenge when you say loss, because when we talk about who we were 10 years ago, when you guys were sharing your transparency, I was realizing that like the competition was not for all of us to get a trophy. Some of us were there to compete against who we were 10 years ago. And in that sense, we did win because, I used to rely on things outside of me to tell me I am. And I've done a lot of competitions and auditions, and I've always like wanted to be chosen. And when you don't choose me, I go home feeling like, God, they don't see me how you see me. But this is the first time that I lost and said, no, I still am. And because right now, actively, God gave me a clothing line called Chosen Clothing. And it's derived from that place where I've always auditioned and wanted to be chosen. And God said, you already are chosen. I've already chosen you. So in that case, did we really lose? Because I felt like the lesson that I was getting was do not idolize them. Because I always idolize competitions and I always idolize trophy or award. And not to take away credit from the competition, but yes, he's a billionaire. And while that's powerful to be in front of him, he's not God either. And right. So just because they didn't call a speaker, I just told you that God used you to be in front of me that day. Because the old 10 years ago, Imani, who wanted to crack when they said I wasn't, he put me in front of you, who said that I am. And that reminded me that. So did you lose? If you were in front of people and you reminded them their worth in that moment, isn't that what a speaker is supposed to do? You did right. What a speaker is supposed to do. So we just have to be careful with, we didn't win the competition, but we didn't lose anything because most people in their life will never be in front of a billionaire. They'll never show up for a competition like that. They'll never be able to inspire who somebody was 10 years ago. And like, I could have went in my hotel and cracked. Seriously, the pressure I had to want to provide for my grandmother, it can be so crippling for me sometimes. I could have cracked, but God put me in front of you. So I would just be careful. Like, did we lose or is that worldly? That's the worldly perspective. But God said we won incredibly that day.
Right, right. And that's the thing is, the other thing that I told myself during that experience was, this is not the only stage. And I think a lot of people thought that that was the only stage. And there were some people that were probably a little bit cynical, angry, maybe a little bit bitter, but it's because they wanted to be on, like you said, Grant Cardone's stage. And there's millions and millions of other stages. Like, this is a stage. So it's like, you know what? And I've had this stage for several years. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the crazy part. The Unchained Podcast is not new. It's just that for a while, I was really the only one on my stage. And I was like, okay, well, that's let's not do that this year. And before we even did this, I told my wife months ago, I was like, you know what? I think I need to open up the door for other people to come and share their story and give them an opportunity. So, and then again, that's the whole do for others that you would have them do on to you. And I think there's more than enough audience to go around. There's more than enough sponsorship dollars to go around. There's more than enough people to inspire. You know what I mean? So it's like, I can't inspire everybody. So why not bring somebody on who can inspire somebody else? So because they might not be tuning in for me. They might tune in for one good episode that I have. You know what I mean? That might be the one thing, reason they subscribe, but if I have people like you and like Juan and like Ricky, get on here and tell their story. There are others that I've selected from that experience, and maybe like 6 or 7 total that will eventually be on the show. I think it's monstrous, because here's the thing. You have a message that you teach that I don't teach. There's another gentleman who helps parents be able to gel with their children. I don't do that. You know what I mean? I go to the children themselves. But there are other people who have different means of getting their message out there and have different means of sharing their testimony. And so I think that's the beautiful thing, is that we were all there for the same reason, and that was to motivate and inspire the world to do something. And I think that was the one place that I've ever been in where everybody was in complete agreement.
Everybody, it was so much synergy. And we all said, like, we don't know why we're here, but God told us to come here. And it was so evident. It wasn't like somebody just saying something, but like, it was an abundance of like God flow energy in that room. It was, I mean, I know we're all coaches, but it was like principle behind it. It was like power and mission. Like, when we leave here, I know that all of you would do something shifting in this world. Cause that was the energy that was in that room. It was crazy.
Well, I think for me, it was like after we gave our 1 minute in that last room, I kept getting people come up to me saying, "Hey, I voted for you. I voted for you. I voted for you." Now, probably a quarter of the room or a third of the room kept telling me that. I was like, "Wow, thank you." You know, so it's funny. It was that I was the people's choice. I just wasn't Grant's choice. You get what I'm saying?
That's what I say. Watch what the audience says, sips tea, because if it's America's greatest speaker, we got to ask America.
Right, right. And so I think because it's the first dry run, there was no, America wasn't voting. You know what I mean? It was the judges that were voting. So I think that was the crazy part, was that, you know, I kept getting people that said, like, "Wow, I voted for you, I voted for you." I was like, wow, imagine what would have happened if I would have not said something. Like, if I would have cowered it out quick, if I would have just went back to my hotel room. So that means something I shared resonated with somebody else who had that same near-death experience with suicide. Something I said had to resonate with somebody else about not knowing their identity and spending their whole life trying to find it. There was something about something I said in 60 seconds that they were like, "Yo, that's me." Yeah. So imagine, that was just a room of 30.
Let me tell you, I just posted today on my TikTok about YouTube, the power of YouTube. And I think it was Myron Golden. He was talking about he made $180,000 from his YouTube videos. Okay. And he talked about having a YouTube channel and sleeping on it for the last 15 years. And the 1 year he took it serious, $180,000. So when you talk about a stage, your story, and you just said only a few components of the other things you told us about your story, including the way you speak about your wife. You spoke about her so highly, but that, to hear your transformation, and now you're a husband and a father, right?
Yeah.
And just, but like the way you allow yourself to be authentic and who you are as a black man. And now you have responsibility over kids and another woman and things like that. But who you are as a black man and what you've had to go through, your story not only belongs on YouTube, but I just know that there are men who need to hear your transparency on whatever stage you choose to share it on. Like, your story is powerful. It can pay you. I know your story is meant to pay you, for
Thank
sure.
You, man. I appreciate that. And it's funny, because that was the one. That was one of the things. Dude, it's so funny to say that. I was. I don't know if I was making lunch or dinner or something for my wife. She was taking care of the baby, but I said, I need to narrow down my niche specifically. But because I love people so much, I like want to give what I got to all people, you know. And I told her, I was like, maybe what I have is just for men and men alone. Because one thing that I understand is that depression and anger they're the same. See, anger is where an emotional person doesn't necessarily gravitate toward living in a cave. They want to smash stuff. So anger is a verbal expressive killer, where depression is anger turned inward, and it's a silent killer. So when you get tired of smashing stuff and you don't have anyone else to talk to, what you typically do in reverse, and this is where the suicide talk came, is that I stopped saying what I was saying to people because I didn't believe I had an outlet and I had no one to talk to. And, you know, furthermore, I'm in a congregation at this time in church that were full of white males, no black males. The only black man in my congregation, the only one. And all the men that were there were married. None of them had the story that I had. All of them had fathers just about. None of them dealt with abandonment. So I was literally in a congregation and in a church, but I felt absolutely alone because I had nobody to share that burden with. And so it's one thing to, you know, to have that story, but it's another thing to take all that in and let it weigh on you, you know, to not be able to express it. And then eventually it got to the point where I said, you know what? I don't care. If you don't like my story, if you don't like what I went through, if you don't like the things that I've done, so be it. Because I guarantee you, if I were to unzip your brain and just read your thoughts, you're no different than me. And if you're going to judge me because of something you found out about me publicly, okay, I know there's some things you do in private that makes you the same as me. And so I just got to the point where I stopped caring about the outside voices, and even more powerful, I stopped caring about the voice in here.
Ooh.
Because it was like you said, guilt wanted me to keep my mouth shut. Because where I had to overcome literally was where the fact where my dirt had been exposed. And I had to go to church every Sunday, and the woman I was married to at the time, we sat on opposite sides of the congregation, which told people there was something going on. And my daughter would sit with her, and I was sitting alone by myself. And nobody else sat next to me. I sat alone. Nobody would come near me. They looked at me like I had some kind of leprosy or plague. You know what I mean? Because they knew what I did.
Yeah.
And it got to the point where I was like, you know what? I'm not going to change churches. I'm going to just keep going to this altar. And I'll do whatever it has to take.
Whatever it takes.
And I will pray as long as I need to pray. I'll do whatever it takes. And I just stopped caring about what people are saying. I stopped caring. And eventually my character began to speak for itself. I didn't need validation from anybody else. I stopped seeking approval. I even stopped talking to the woman that I was married to. We were living together. I said not a word. I didn't say anything. Because my transformation had nothing to do with her, and it had nothing to do with my kids. Because God specifically told me, your issue is not in your relationship with her. Your issue is in your relationship with me. He says, I'm where you have the problem, not with anybody else. We're the one with the broken relationship. The only reason why that relationship is strained is because ours is strained. So if you fix this one, you'll fix the ones out there. And so I literally got to the point where I was 1,000% okay if she stayed or if she left. I was good with it either way.
Yeah.
I was good with it. And so most men will not air their laundry like that. They just won't.
And look what happened when you did that. I mean, you were just talking casually about, I mean, no one told you to tell the truth. You just told the truth at a moment where I guess all of us needed it. We were all like hiding what area of life we had to leave to come here right now at this table. But like when you said that, here's a Hispanic man who said, bro, I'm going through a divorce right now. I feel so lonely. I don't ever feel like my needs as a man are being heard. And he really went in and he was like, I've never gave myself permission to say I need love. But honestly, I've been in a deficiency for love. And I realized I've never really had a woman pour into me. And then after he said that, his friend, he said that I've always felt ugly. What kind of men? I mean, I'm looking at the table because I'm really just mad I got out of this Grant Cardone competition. But I'm like, what is going on right here? Like, this is transparency. And you said parts of your story that I purposely hide because I feel like it's not executive. My story is not executive. It's not corporate. They come from, like you said, they don't come from this background. They've always been rich. They've always been making good decisions. And here I am with this messy story. I'm not going to bring it here. And then when you said that and I saw how many people wanted to chime in and how we all just like were intrigued by your truth because we all have it. We just not saying it. I was like, oh, my God, the Lord is moving right now. I need to tell the truth. I don't know. I need to get where you are. I'm not completely there. But that is where I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be there too, telling the story, because how many of us have messed because of the relationship we didn't have with God? And look at how it isolates you. It isolates you in real life too. You feel isolated. You're depressed because you're isolated, but also your actions that's not aligned with God, it's isolating you further. So it's just like depression 101. And it all comes down, the enemy operates in secrecy, not being willing to share it.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. And the thing about it is that truth and transparency are requirements with God. If you remember reading, like in the book of Genesis, do you remember the part where it said that Adam and Eve were cut off from the tree of life?
Yes.
Okay. So the tree of life is figurative. It's not a real tree. All right. It is literally your ability to create through God. Okay. It is when you do not tell the truth, it cuts off your creative capacity. So you have separated yourself, not because God has anything against you. It's just that you've become against you. You've become your own enemy. You have become your own accuser. And so I know a lot of people and a lot of church people are like, no, there's an enemy. Hey, the enemy's within.
Because
who else talks to you but you? Right? Who else says the things? Like, nobody says, you better not say that. Nobody tells you that to yourself. And I'll give you this as something to hold on to, but I promise you, the moment you drop that bomb, the moment you just let it ride, your inbox is going to be so overflowing with women who are like, girl, yes, I've been wanting to say that for so long. Thank you for saying that. Because here's the thing. Somebody needs to hear your story more than your reason for not saying it.
Ooh.
We have our own selfish reasons for not saying it, but somebody else who's faced with, do I want to really ride this thing of life out or not? That's their decision. Do I want to keep going or do I want to throw in the towel? Do I want to stay married or do I want to get divorced? Do I want to stay on these drugs or do I want to get off?
Ooh.
And they're waiting on our story in order to make the choice. You get what I'm saying? So that's why it says we are made overcomers by the word of our testimony. So in other words, think about it this way. The key piece that you haven't fully got to yet, look at it like this is actually the key that not only unlocks me, but as I do it, this key unlocks other people too. Because that key is the very thing that is going to raise you to the level you're seeking. Right? So the rising tide, so the rising tide raises all ships. So when you're in that inward dilemma, like, do I say it or do I not say it? You're the tide, and everybody else waiting on you are the ships. Does that make sense? So as you go up, they go up. You get what I'm saying? So,
ooh.
Yeah. So
pressure on me. We only 20 days in. I'm on a 90-day run. In 90 days, you can make yourself unrecognizable with the stages that you have access to, with the phone you have, with the internet you have, with the message you have. In 90 days, if you purposely became intentional about it, you could be a whole different person.
Oh, I promise you, I don't know if that's just telepathy, but I've been on that same deal. I was like, I got to kill this first quarter. Got to kill this first quarter. Because here's the thing, Imani, I think this is the truth about so many people. And this is where social media can be a curse, is because you keep measuring yourself up to people who are in the same boat that you're in. They just decided, you know what, I'm gonna give it a true shot. And on the flip side is, you're like, you're still having those conversations like, I'm not worthy, nobody's gonna like my stuff. And so you just put little pieces out there. But if you want to stay in social media, the more you pump it and the more people interact, the more visibility you get. So, and it's funny because I'm watching people I went to high school with, you know, one of the guys yesterday, I think he has like almost 10,000 followers or whatever. He's like, the last 30 days have been crazy. He was like, I never thought I'd be able to pay my rent just by being on, or pay my bills just by being on social media. I was like, and here's the funny part, that, you know, Zuckerberg is actually saying, yo, I admire you for using this as your stage. This is your stage. Just use it. You know what I mean? Like this is your own space. You know, and I think what I really valued about, you know, our connection at that table is there's something that we have a common belief in. There's a common belief we all have. And that is, nothing is impossible. And I know at some point, you know, I don't know how close it'll be, but I know at some point we're all going to jail to figure out how we're going to create a stage just for that as well. You know what I mean? I said, we'll create a stage. I said, just communicate the message that nothing is impossible.
That
was a common thread that I got from everybody. You know, that everybody.
Resilient.
Yeah, absolutely.
Remember the guy who was at our table? He made it to top 10. He came from prison. He's changed his life. And what about
Seneca?
Seneca, come on, Seneca, let's go. I'm still rooting for him. But what about the girl who, she drove like 9 hours? She was trying to sleep in her car. I mean, I end up letting her sleep in my hotel room. But the point is, we were all at the table in different areas of our life, but all of us had one thing in common. The last 10 years have been a struggle. Coming out of we had to fight our way to be at that table. And so for us to get there, and when we go back to you said I am, what does that mean? Every day that you're not saying I am, it means you're saying I'm not. You're either acting like you believe I am, or you're acting like I'm not. So we got to pick one. So at that table, we all subconsciously made a decision that I am going to shift the world in whatever way God has called me to do it individually. And we're going to do it sometimes together, but even when we're not with each other, there is power within us. You said God is within us. We're going to use our God force energy to shift lives, not even for monetary gain at this point, but because I know who I was 10 years ago, and I am, that part of my story has had to have happened to me so that I can share it with who's still back there. You know,
right.
You got to go back and get your people. I mean, you made it out. That's a miracle. You know how many people with addiction never get past that point?
Right, right. Yeah.
So, I mean, we got past that point, and now we have no choice but to use our transparency to help who's ever still there.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, so what's next for you? Like, you know, we started the new year. We went out on a high note. We was in a warm climate. We got to do something that most people never get to do. So what's on the list for this year for you?
I definitely want to write a book called How to Make the World Your Stage. But I know that in order to write that book, in order for it to sell easily, I have to do it myself. So right now I'm definitely trying to create digital stages for myself. Also create opportunities for others. So I'm going to be starting my podcast. You got to tell me how you're doing this. Teach me. But I want to get in front of as many people as possible and share my story. I definitely want to just use my gift and a stage and see what I can make out of that. How about for you?
Absolutely. You know, for me as well, you know, I think for everybody there, I think the goal has always been the stages. And for those of you listening, when we say stages, it's not we desire to be in front of people. Not for that reason. We desire to motivate and inspire people. So that's still the goal for me. This year I said, you know what, I am a coach, but I'm going to get me a mentor for the specific goal that I'm reaching for this year. So for me, it's, you know, it's 4 stages a month for me. That's the goal. 4 physical stages, 3 digital stages, you know. And again, I'm on my own, you know, podcast. So I'm actually going to be on the stage weekly, for the podcast. But of course, there's some financial goals and everything that I have set. You know, so I can do more with what I'm doing. There's a huge need right now, especially in the young adult space, teenagers, you know, younger 20s. They're dealing with the very things that we've overcome. Problem is, with what they're entertained with now on social media, I don't really foresee them getting out anytime soon. So I want to be able to go and speak to them, as many people as possible, especially our youth, so that those habits and things don't become solidified in their head. So I would say by this time next year, I would have spoken on well more than 50 stages by this time next year. And so there's a nice chunk of change that comes with that. I'm excited about it. but I also am in the beginning stages of brainstorming, a movie script for my book that I wrote, last year. So do I want to be the star in it? I don't know, but I am writing the script.
I can see you being an actor.
I've done that. That's funny. I was just talking to my aunt about that. I did theater in high school, like a year and a half of it. We even did our own little TV show called Cracks in the Wall. If I got a hold of that show, it'd be hilarious. But I've done church plays and everything else, man. But we'll see where that goes. We'll see where that goes. But I never set out to be like an actor. But for the most part, again, my goal is the same as yours: inspire, motivate, engage, change as many lives as possible. In the next couple of weeks, we're doing the Self-Mastery 101 workshop. So it's a 1-hour intensive workshop on how to get through and pass the same things I was telling you guys at the table, the exact methods I use, a lot of the notes and stuff that I've gotten from my mentors, the things God has with me personally, and the things that I put into practice every day. You're talking about going from suicidal to believing I can overcome the world. That's a huge step for most people. And so, with that workshop, there's going to be a lot of inward revival, and we're going to do this virtually. So, we're going to launch that. It's going to come out mid-February. Yeah. So that's the first thing is this workshop, man. So we'll see how many people, we can impact with that.
You got to teach me how to do podcasts and workshops. I mean, I know the vision, but I just don't know how to do it online.
Oh yeah, it's super simple. There's so many easier things, easier ways to do a podcast now. And I'll send you a couple of the. I'm using Riverside right now, Riverside, and I'm using Anchor. I'm going to be doing it on both, but Anchor actually ties your podcast in to all the major podcast platforms, whether it's Stitcher, Google, Spotify, Apple. Anchor's very, very good. It's very easy. This will actually be able to be uploaded into Spotify as a video now. So now they have video podcasts. So
what?
Yeah.
And add this to YouTube.
Yep. You can add it to YouTube. This goes everywhere. And I just put my podcast live on Amazon Music just the other day. So now it's live on Amazon Music. So, super simple. I'll give you this one as well. But a lot of my teaching material, is going to be done on a new podcast app called Wisdom. So Wisdom is all for personal development. So a lot of the things that I teach, a lot of the self-help methods, personal development methods, the exact practices that I use, is going to be free material that I'm going to be given on a weekly basis, and that's going to be on an app called Wisdom. So
for personal, I love personal development. It's my favorite topic.
Yeah, so he's like, oh, I really enjoy what you teach. Hey, go on Wisdom, get a pen and paper, you'll be able to write it all down. Yeah.
That's very clever. Wow, 50 stages. Come on. I plan to toast to you on that at the end of 2023. Yeah. I like how you made it quantitative. I probably need to get a number down so I can actually make this real. I like that.
Well, yeah, it is real. So, so give it a number and a deadline. Number the deadline. So, again, by the end of the year, well over 50 stages. So, 50 being the minimum. So,
that's a lot.
It is, especially when you got kids. So,
but that'll definitely make you a speaker. I mean, you can't deny you a speaker at that point.
Well, the funny thing is, I was speaking before the Great American Speak Off.
Yeah.
Every week, I was speaking to a group of recovering addicts every week.
Wow.
And so I'm not doing that one anymore, I guess, because the pastor didn't like something I said. because of something he didn't understand. He thought it was witchcraft. I was like, Rob never preached nothing but the Bible. But, you know, again, people feel what they don't understand. It is what it is. But,
yeah. I ain't going to do anything about that.
But yeah, we'll definitely be doing some other work together. There'll definitely be, as a matter of fact, in 2 hours, I will be speaking with Juan. So, Juan is going to be aired the week after you. So.
Oh, let's go, Juan. That's going to be great. I already know. Y'all about to go say anything with Juan.
I told Juan, no cursing, Juan. But
hold back.
I think once Seneca gets done with the event he has going on in Dallas, he'll be on as well. So he's going to tell his mirror story. So,
yeah. So where did you find this at? You said, I'm guessing I don't have Apple Music.
Oh, you're talking about this one?
Yeah.
Oh, this will be, you'll be able to catch the link on either my Facebook, Instagram. It'll be on Spotify. I can send you my Spotify link. But I think if you do anchor.fm/unchained, you just pick your favorite one, whichever one you listen to the most. So if you don't have Apple Music, you can do Spotify, you can do Google Podcasts, whichever one you got.
All right. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. And then you'll be able to share with your peeps.
Yes.
Well, all right then, girl. Where can people find you before we get off of it? Where can people find you?
Go to my online stage, which is TikTok, at Shine Studios, 2-3 times. Shine Studios 222.
Gotcha. Is that your own stage, or is that the one you prefer people go to? That one, TikTok?
Yep, that's the one I'm going to purposely turn into an online talent show where I'll shine light on other people. So I'm purposely trying to grow the audience as large as possible in a year.
Gotcha. Well, man, that's good, man. That's good. So if you got talent, you know where to showcase it, all right?
That's good.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much for consideration. This was great.
Man, you have a story and you have a light that shines that most people need to see. So. Keep doing your thing. Don't be a stranger. And we'll be in touch, man.
Yes. Have a great weekend. Let's go.
All right. You too, girl. All right, see you.
Bye.
All right. Bye.
The key to enjoying life rests solely upon our ability to control our thinking and direct intentional thoughts toward our dreams. See, our inability to master our thoughts calls us to drift without definite aim or purpose, leaving us to believe that we're just casualties of life. But see, what if I told you that you are meant for more, that you can be wealthy, that you can have a loving and fulfilling relationship, that you are worthy to receive the things that God has placed in your heart? Your discontentment with life is not that you can't have what you want. Your frustration exists because you don't know how to master your mind to make it happen. See, I have the perfect solution for you, and it's my program, Self-Mastery 101. The program that teaches you how to overcome negative thoughts, habits, feelings, and emotions that have kept you complacent and unsatisfied your entire life. I know many people say that they're happy with the way that things are and they don't want the houses or the cars or the money, when the absolute truth is you do want those things. You just accepted a thought that you shouldn't have, which is it's not meant for you. And if God wanted you to have it, you would have it. That's defeated thinking. And if in the Self-Mastery 101 course, I gave you the tools to make it all come true, would you be obliged to take a chance on it? See, in Self-Mastery 101, you'll receive all the tools that will help you rewire your mindset, destroy toxic self-perceptions, and give you the blueprint to bring to life the dreams you once believed were dead.